Please turn then to our scripture passage this morning. It's the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll actually read together the end of chapter 5, but focus our attention on chapter 6. Luke 5, beginning at verse 33. You should find that on page 861 in the Black Bible. It's Luke chapter 5, picking up the ministry of Jesus with verse 33. Listen to God's word. "And they said to him, 'The disciples of John fast often and offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink.' Jesus said to them, 'Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days.' He also told them a parable. 'No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. If he does, he will tear the new, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is good.' On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And Jesus answered them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? And he said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come and stand here." And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or destroy it?" And after looking around at them all, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And he did. And his hand was restored, but they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Reading from God's word this morning. When Maggie was a student at Westminster, she got an opportunity to take a trip with a group of students and one of our professors over to Israel, taking a class and touring around. And there was one Friday when they were there, towards sundown, a group of them decided they were going to go and walk down Jerusalem over to the Wailing Wall to see some of what would go on at the beginning of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath day. And so they're on their way, a group of them through the streets of Jerusalem, and out of this little hovel comes this guy, Orthodox Jewish man, obvious from his dress, actually from Chicago, it turns out. Pretty successful guy, but he had moved over to Israel and with his family. And he comes out and says, "Are you guys Gentiles?" Like, "Yeah." "Could you come in and turn off my computer?" You get the idea. This guy was being really, really careful. It wasn't sundown yet, so the Sabbath hadn't started yet, but it was getting close. So he wanted to be careful. Didn't want his computer on throughout the Sabbath, and didn't want to turn it off himself, because that would be something vaguely resembling work. And so he brought in a group of Gentiles to come in and take care of it. So you see, discussions about the Sabbath, they keep going, whether it's in Jesus' day or whether it's in our day. And so as we look to our sermon this morning, the title, if you saw it in the bulletin, the title is this, the full title, Lord of the Sabbath, or How to Keep the Sabbath Without Being a Legalist. Now, the second part, how to keep the Sabbath without being a legalist, that gets into our application. That gets into how do we think about applying this text to our lives. But the first part, the Lord of the Sabbath, that gets into the focus of our passage. The focus of our passage on Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath. And what we'll see is that the first part is the key to the second part. If you want to keep the Sabbath without being a legalist, what you need to do is focus on Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. You take out Jesus and you lose what the Sabbath is to be about. And you end up in legalism. Focus on Jesus and you'll get it. And that's essentially the problem that we see with Jesus' opponents here. You remember what Jesus has been doing? Luke has been presenting us from the very beginning. He's been showing us Jesus. Remember Jesus and his authority over sickness? Jesus and his authority over demons? Jesus and his authority over sin, the forgiveness of sin? Jesus and his authority coming out again and again. Here we have Jesus and his authority over the Sabbath. And revealing that over and against these who oppose him. And the problem with those who oppose him, as they're offended, their spiritual sensibilities offended again and again. We saw it last week about forgiveness and who Jesus ate with and fasting. And here we see it with one of their favorites, the Sabbath. Over and over again, the reason they're offended, and Jesus points it out, is because they don't understand who Jesus is. And that's what he keeps saying to them again and again. You're offended because you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am. And so it is with the Sabbath. They don't know who he is. And if they did, they would get it. And so if we're going to get the Sabbath, then we and I got to understand who Jesus is. And it's in that context that we begin to understand how it is possible for us as Christians to keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist. And we're going to work through the passage and make six different observations answering that very question. Six different observations of how to keep the Sabbath without being a legalist. They're not listed in your outline, so you'll have to scribble them down if you want to remember them. The first observation we can make is this. If you want to keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist, first, don't throw out the fourth commandment. Don't throw out the fourth commandment. Here's just sort of a general observation about what's going on in this passage, and it's recognizing what's behind all the debate, what's behind all the discussion. Well, it's one of God's Ten Commandments. You remember the fourth commandment, right? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or female servant, your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The fourth commandment. That's behind the discussions here. That commandment that God gives, that we are to follow his creation pattern. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. And the discussion here in Luke 6 is what that rest ought to be like. What that refraining from work ought to look like. The Pharisees claiming that Jesus is violating that commandment. Here he is. He's allowing those under him to do work, to pluck heads of grain, so they say. Or Jesus is doing work himself. He's healing. They're saying he's violating the commandment. And make one observation about how Jesus responds. He doesn't throw out the fourth commandment. He doesn't say here, oh, yeah, I've arrived. The new covenant is here. You can forget about that Sabbath stuff. He doesn't say that. Jesus, in other places in the Gospels, doesn't hesitate to make corrections, to point out that some things are very new now that he's arrived. Let me give you an example. Think about the Old Testament dietary laws. You go through and you read through the law of Moses, and there you read detailed descriptions about what you can eat, what you can't eat. No ham sandwiches. Unclean. There's certain things that are clean, certain things that are unclean. But then you get to the Gospels. You get to Mark 7, for example, and what does Jesus declare? We have it right out written for us. Jesus was declared all foods clean. He doesn't hesitate when he wants to say there's Old Testament practices, shadows of the old that are now fulfilled, that are done. He doesn't do that here. Doesn't mean he agrees with the Pharisees and their understanding of the fourth commandment. He very much disagrees with them, and we'll talk about that. But he doesn't throw it out either. And perhaps that's a good observation to make, because there can be, at least in our current Christian culture, evangelical culture especially, this understood idea that if you want to avoid legalism, you got to throw out the fourth commandment, because to talk about it as it being any kind of valid or binding thing is automatically legalistic. Well, apparently Jesus doesn't think that. So you want to keep the Sabbath without being a legalist, don't throw out the fourth commandment. But we need to say more. Next thing we need to say is, secondly, don't add to God's word. Don't add to God's word. That's really the problem with the Pharisees. The problem wasn't with God's word. That was fine. God spoke. God commanded. The problem was that the Pharisees came along and with the scribes added a whole list of rules and regulations on par with Scripture. Basically saying, okay, if you want to be careful to make sure you don't violate the fourth commandment, well, you need to do this and this and this and not do this, this. They had a whole list of rules. Their short list was about 39 different regulations that had to do with this is how you kept the Sabbath. And that comes very much into play as Jesus is going about his ministry here. Because here were the disciples, for example, walking through the grain field. And they're according not to Old Testament law, but according to the Pharisees' interpretation, their rules and regulations, these guys are doing work. Because after all, they're plucking off a few heads of grain. That's reaping. And they're rubbing it in their hands, breaking up the kernels and the chaff. That's threshing. And they're picking out the pieces of grain and throwing out the chaff. That's winnowing. So you see, they're doing work. They're reaping and winnowing and threshing, and clearly they're doing work, again, according to their regulations. Especially it comes into play with the second case here, where there's the man with the withered hand. The rabbis of the day had very specific regulations about who could be healed on the Sabbath. You could heal somebody on the Sabbath only if it was so bad, the condition, that it couldn't wait. And so if this man was bleeding to death, then Jesus wouldn't get into any trouble with healing him. But this guy, he just has an atrophied, a withered, a crippled hand. That can wait until the next day. To heal him, that would be work. That would be violating the Sabbath. The problem is, again, according to their rules, and to violate their rules, you were essentially violating Scripture. The problem wasn't God's word. The problem was them adding to God's word. Their own human laws, their own human regulations about here's what you must do in order to honor God. So you want to not be a legalist? Don't add to God's word. Study his word. Listen to it. Apply it. Don't add to it. Don't add to it. Now, of course, as we think about applying God's word, like the fourth commandment or any other commandment, we're going to have to make specific application. We're going to come up with practices and habits even as individuals. About the fourth commandment is one example. Habits and practices as individuals, as families, even as churches, of this is how we're applying the fourth commandment. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to get specific because obedience is always specific. But there's a big difference between coming up with habits and practices of application and adding to God's word, where you add your own regulations and saying this is what it must be, and to violate this is to violate God. Let me give you an example to try to make it specific. One of the things that I do when I wake up is I first thing I usually do is I usually jump in the shower. And when I go into the shower, I turn on the radio. I turn on the radio, usually listen to the news. It's one of the few opportunities I get to catch up with what's going on and like to find out what's been happening in the world. But one of the things I've been doing recently is I haven't, on Sundays, turned on the news. I've just decided, I know what's going to happen. If I turn on If I turn on the radio, my mind's going to get all caught up in what's going on in Washington and what's going on in Wall Street. And I get all distracted by that. And you know what? On Sunday morning, I don't want to get my mind caught up with that. And so instead, I'll try to pray. I'll try to maybe sing a hymn or think about the scripture that I'm going to talk about that morning. That helps me to focus on what the day's about. A day set apart for the worship of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do on Sunday. Now, I don't know about you. I think that's a pretty good application of the fourth commandment. But it's one thing to have a practice, a habit like that, applying God's word. And it's a whole different thing come up with a rule that says, you shall not turn the radio on Sunday. You shall not open up the newspaper on this morning. And if you did that this morning, you should feel really guilty. And you know what? God's a lot more pleased with me because I didn't listen to the news this morning and you did. Very, very big difference between the two. One, you're trying sincerely and honestly to apply God's commandment. The other one, you're making a rule, adding to God's word, and specifically a rule which happens to make you look good and make everyone else look bad, because that's really what the legalist is out for anyway. So don't add to God's word. Yes, live out God's word, apply God's word, but don't add to it. Third thing we need to say is don't miss Jesus. You want to keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist? Don't miss Jesus. Here I want us to think about how Jesus responds to the criticism that there's work going on with the disciples picking this grain. Interesting what he says. Probably not how we would have answered. But Jesus responds to their criticism. Their criticism is there in verse 2. Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Listen how Jesus responds. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. See how he responds to the question, to the criticism. He brings up an Old Testament example. 1 Samuel 21. There's David, anointed David. He's been anointed by Samuel as king. He's not on the throne yet. He's being chased by Saul. And David and his men, being chased, going about, running from Saul, arrives at Nob. And there is where the tabernacle is. He goes there. He's on the run, and he asks for food. And there is no food, the priest says. The only food there is, the only bread there is the bread of the presence. Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? The bread of the presence, that bread that goes into the tabernacle before in the presence of the Lord, and it will be taken out each week. And who is supposed to eat that bread? Only the priests. That's the only bread there is. And we're told, Jesus reports exactly what's in Samuel, that David takes that bread and eats it and gives it to those who are with him. Now, technically, that's a violation of the ceremonial law. Only the priest was supposed to eat it. And here's David eating it. Just like, well, maybe technically, the disciples in picking that grain, they're doing a little bit of work. But part of Jesus' point here is that the work that's done, the technical violation that takes place, this is an act of necessity. This is an act of mercy, an act of providing, an act of love. And therefore, it's not a shake your fist at God and his law kind of violation. This is an act of necessity. Just like today, we would certainly have no problem with a doctor working on the Sabbath. My wife goes into labor over a weekend. I really hope there's a doctor and a couple of nurses who are willing to work on a Sunday. Of course, there's acts of necessity. It would be cruel not to. And so it would be cruel to withhold food from David, from the disciples. Acts of necessity. And that fits perfectly with honoring the Sabbath, Jesus says. But he seems to make a point that's even bigger than that. That's part of it. Acts of necessity fit with the Sabbath. But notice how he concludes that. He says, verse 5, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's been talking about David. Anointed David. It says David had the authority to decide what was right and to go and to provide on the Sabbath. how much more does the Son of Man? The Son of Man, remember we studied that last week? That Son of Man, that Old Testament picture of the one who comes before the Ancient of Days and receives, remember, dominion, a kingdom, receives authority. And now he says, how much more than David is David's greater son, the Son of Man, the King, have authority over the Sabbath? In Jesus' mind, who's the focus? Who's the center of the Sabbath? He is. He is. He's what the Sabbath is about. The Old Testament, with its laws and regulations and shadows of in the Sabbath, pointing forward to Jesus. And so any fulfillment, any practice in the new must focus on Jesus. The rest that we have in Christ, the life and the wholeness that we have in Christ, the spiritual food that we have in Christ, the Sabbath is all about Him. He is Lord of the Sabbath. So important, we're going to come back to it in a minute. Don't miss Jesus. Two quick other things before we come back to that point. This is our fourth aspect of how to keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist. Four, don't spend your time staring at other people. Don't spend your time staring at other people. It's interesting to notice here how the Pharisees are spending their Sabbath. And they want to talk about how Jesus is spending his. But think for a minute about how the Pharisees are spending their Sabbath. What are they doing on the Sabbath? They're spending their time staring at Jesus. Even the first passage. Ask yourself the question, how do they know that the disciples are plucking these heads of grain? You know, they're off in the field somewhere. How do they know? The Pharisees have to be right there with them. They have to be following them around, watching in the grain field. Ah, caught you. How are they spending their Sabbath? They're following Jesus around, waiting for him to mess up. And especially it's powerful there in the synagogue. There they are in the synagogue. They're in church. What are they doing in church? They're listening to the word, right? They're worshiping God, focusing on him. Is that what they're doing in church? No. What do we read? Verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so they might have a reason to accuse him. See what they're doing on the Sabbath? They're spending all their time, all their energy, all their heart and mind staring at Jesus, waiting for him to mess up according to their rules. And see, that gets into the real heart of legalism. What's underneath legalism? Why are we tempted to be a legalist? What's the core of it? It isn't just the legalist likes rules. When we're being a legalist, we're just getting all excited about rules. No, that's not what we're excited about. That's not the heart of it, the core of it. The core of it is we want to be all about ourselves. We want to look good. And we love the rules because we conveniently make up those rules that make us look good. And that make other people look bad because they're not following the rules. And when other people look bad, guess what? We look good. And that's the heart of the legalist. That's why the Pharisees are staring at Jesus, because he's going to look bad. And therefore, they, who follow their own rules, look good. That's the heart of a legalist. So if you ever find yourself beginning to stare at other people, trying to focus your energy, oh, what are they doing on Sunday? They're not doing what I would do. If you're beginning to get into that, watch out. You're beginning to walk down that path of legalism, focused on yourself and looking good yourself. So that's what you shouldn't do, stare at other people. So what should you do? Well, Jesus goes there. Don't fail to do good. Don't fail to do good on the Sabbath. You see what Jesus does, particularly with this man. Here he is, a withered hand. They're staring at him. Is he going to mess up? Jesus calls this man up. Jesus is not shy here at all. Not worried at all about offending people. In fact, he wants everybody to see. Calls this man up right in the middle of everybody. Wants everybody in church to see what's going on. And there he is. And he asks this powerful question. Verse 9. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to destroy it? Think for a minute about how different this question is than the question the Pharisees were asking. Remember the question the Pharisees ask about healing? Their question is, can we put this guy off a day? Can we push him away? Is he going to make it another day? We can push him off. That's their question. Notice how Jesus just ignores that question but asks a much more convicting one. What's lawful on this day? to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it. Notice how this is a very powerful rebuke to the Pharisees. Because think about what they are doing, what they have been doing, but seeking to do harm, seeking to destroy life. Here they are coming up with reasons and rules why they want to keep this man from being healed. They're trying to keep him away. They're coming up with reasons why he should be pushed off, seeking to do harm. And what are they doing with the rest of their energy? Well, they're staring at Jesus, waiting for Jesus to mess up. And according to their rules, when Jesus does mess up, what's the first thing they do? They gather together and try to find, conspire together about how they're going to get Jesus. They want to start thinking about how to put him to death, to destroy life. That's how they're using their Sabbath. And so Jesus here is using this to convict them, to point out their evil and their hypocrisy. No, that's what not to do. What we should do is to do what is good. To do what is good. To do what brings life. That's what the Sabbath is to be about. That's what our rest is to be about. And so we should think about that. How can I use my day? How can I use my Sunday to do that which is good? To do that which brings life? You know, think of, you know, is there someone you know that might be discouraged? You might use the time you have to pick up the phone and call them and try to encourage them. Share a verse of scripture. Take time, extra time out to pray for them. Write a note to them to encourage them and lift them up that they might get during the week. If you know someone is lonely, go visit them. Or cook a meal for someone who might be in need. You can keep going and coming up with different ideas, but that's what the day's about. Doing good, trying to build up life. That's what the day is for. And finally, our last point of how to be keep the Sabbath and not be a legalist, don't miss Jesus. So important, we have to go back to it again. Don't miss Jesus. And here we get to where the passage ends. And we need to reflect on the flow of how Jesus goes here. Calls the man forward. And again, listen to this again in light of who Jesus is as Lord of the Sabbath, who he is and what he came to do. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And so his hand was restored. Here's Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And he comes to this man. And the man's problem is part of him is dead. And how does the Lord of the Sabbath step in? He steps in and he brings life. He brings life to that which was dead. And this, as Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, this is what the Sabbath is all about. The life that Jesus brings to that which is dead. And in many ways, this begins to get into some of the newness, some of the new wine, some of that which the old was just shadows of. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath focus tended to be more on looking back at creation, the creation pattern, back at the Exodus, the deliverance from Egypt. There were sort of shadows of something, some future rest. Well, now the Lord of the Sabbath is here and the fulfillment is here. New wine is here. Because Jesus has arrived. Has arrived to do what? To bring life to that which is dead. To bring rest to a people who are weary from sin and from death. And that's what he does. And how does Jesus bring that life? Well, he dies himself. And he rises up from the dead. No coincidence, I don't think, that the day that the Christian church celebrates the Christian Sabbath is on the very day that Jesus rises from the dead. It is Resurrection Day. That's it. Because Jesus has done it. He has come and he's brought life to that which is dead, even us. And so the day then is all about Jesus. It's also about celebrating the rest that he has brought, the new life that he's brought. See, this is why the Christian Sabbath makes no sense with legalism. Why, if you're staring at Jesus, legalism gets pushed out. Because what is the heart of legalism? Look at me. I'm okay. I'm great because of all the things that I've done and all the rules that I keep and all the regulations I can, and I'm certainly better than that guy. Well, if you stare at Jesus, you get the exact opposite message. You focus on the Lord of the Sabbath, and all of a sudden it becomes all about not me and what I've done, but look at what Jesus has done. He's taken on my death, my corruption, and he's conquered it. He's been raised up. And he's given that new life to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. He did it all. So you focus on Jesus, and all of a sudden the legalism gets pushed out. It becomes all about him. And it becomes, as Hebrews hints us, becomes a taste of that heavenly rest. That part of our salvation we still look forward to. This the Christian Sabbath celebration is a little taste of it. What we'll be doing for all eternity, gathering with God's people, worshiping the Lord, being perfected, resting from the toil and the work of this life, that rest is coming. And this Sunday is just a little piece of it, rejoicing in Jesus. And so don't miss Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. And so our question for the Sabbath then becomes, well, how can I focus more on Jesus? How can I focus more on him? And so as we think about application, we think about that question. It might mean, for starters, doing some things that are new for you. Whatever you think of it, new things that I might be able to do to focus more on Jesus. Maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon taking time to read a good Christian book so that you're reflecting more on Jesus and rejoicing more in him. Or maybe it's around the dinner table you're going to spend time talking not as much about how the Phillies might do this year, but talking about the morning sermon and the scripture that you read and reflected on so you can think more about Jesus. Or maybe it's just doing some of the old things, some of those old habits that you do every week, but doing them a little bit differently, doing them more focused on Jesus. And so, yeah, going to church. But going to church not just, well, because this is what I do, I got to punch my card this week. I'd feel guilty and God might not like me as much if I don't go. But no, going to church thinking, like, I need to see Jesus. I need that rest that only he can bring. I want to delight in the life that he has come to bring as Lord of the Sabbath. Going to those normal practices where you put aside, you make the day different, you put aside the normal tasks of life. But doing those things, not just sort of mumbling and complaining, not just, oh, that's right, I can't do this today, and I can't do that today, and I can't do that today. But no, doing it differently, doing it with joy. What a privilege it is that God has given me this day where I can forget about the chores. I can forget about those projects that need to be done. I can forget about all the entertainment that distract my mind. I can just put that aside for a day. I got 6 days to worry about all that other stuff. God's given me this whole day where I can just focus on that which really brings rest, which really brings life, Jesus. I can focus a whole day on him. So it's doing some new things, maybe doing some old things differently. So, can you keep the Sabbath without being a legalist? Jesus seems to say yes. How do you do it? Don't throw out the fourth commandment. Don't add to God's word. Don't miss Jesus. Don't spend your time staring at other people. Don't fail to do good. And most importantly, don't miss Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would give us grace as individuals, as families, to use Sunday, to use the Lord's Day, that Christian Sabbath, in a way that honors you, Lord, most of all by having our hearts and minds caught up with the Lord who has come to bring life, to bring us rest. Lord, we pray that you in increasing measure give us wisdom and hearts to do just that. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, of coming here and even reflecting on his work this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn then to our final hymn number 392.